something a little different. Those who have the opportunity to go to daily Mass experience and learn in going to daily Mass a lot about the lives of the saints. As the saints' feast days fall all through the calendar, and on those different weekdays, you'll celebrate the feast day and often learn a bit about the life of the saint and their importance. Sunday, of course, is the celebration of the resurrection. And the Sunday Mass, even if there's a saint's day that falls on that, will be that which is celebrated. But today, I want to tell you a little bit about the saint whose feast day does fall on this day of October 1st. We don't live our lives and we don't live our faith on our own. You can't. And you were not meant to. You're not meant to live your faith on your own. We need heroes and helpers. We need them in this life. People to actually inspire us, to spark our imagination of what life can be, and to help us on this way in life. And so we need people in this life who are heroes and who are there to help us. But even more than that, we need heroes and helpers who are the saints. And why I say more than that is because people in this life, they're not perfect, and they can actually lead you astray at times. But the saints, that they are in the life of heaven, in this life of perfection, and we need to be able to look to them as heroes in the faith, to stir within our imaginations of what this Christian life, this gift that we've been given, is and what it can be in your own life. And we need their help. We're never meant to go through this life and to live our faith on our own. If I told you that the saint who is the great patron saint of all missionaries, and that there's a saint who is one of the co-patrons of the whole country of France, and that there's a saint who is one of the great doctors of the church, only 36 of all the saints in the history of the church are raised up to a doctor of the church, meaning their teaching and their life teach us some of the most important things about the Christian life, and that this saint is the youngest of them. And that there's a saint who in the last century has been revered by all the popes, and even now there's thousands of miracles attributed to this saint every year all throughout the world. You probably wouldn't think of a young girl from a little town in northern France who became a Carmelite nun with special permission at the age of 15. And from the age of 15, for the next 9 years, she didn't leave the walls of that monastery. And she died at the age of 24 of tuberculosis. And when she died, she was known by probably hardly anyone outside of her family and the other nuns in the monastery. But within a few short years, St. Thérèse of Lisieux would be known by Catholics all throughout the world. This humble, simple saint who lived for the most part a very hidden life till her death in 1897, she emerges as one of the greatest and one of the most important saints in the history of the church. Pope St. Pius X, just a handful of years after she had died, said that St. Thérèse of Lisieux, this saint, is the greatest saint in our modern times. He pointed to her saying, she is one of the most important saints of our time. John Paul II said that Thérèse of Lisieux, she teaches us the science of divine love. What does that even mean? The science of divine love. She teaches us Because you hear God is love. How does that work in our lives, in this world? Divine love. What does that mean? That she is one of the great teachers of divine love, and he's the one who raised her in 1997 to a doctor of the church. She said that one of the reasons she wanted to become a cloistered Carmelite nun, in which she spent her life in the walls of that monastery, living it out in this hidden way of dedicated prayer, was so that she could dedicate her life to prayer for the salvation of souls and praying for priests. Praying for the salvation of souls. Praying for souls who are in danger of hell. And this is, of course, those who maybe initially said yes to God's will and then turned away, or others who have said no from the beginning and have yet to turn. But to pray for the salvation of souls, Jesus says those haunting words in the gospel that those who are the greatest sinners, the tax collectors, the prostitutes, that they'll be entering heaven before many others. Because there was something of the gospel message which struck their heart and turned it, that our hearts, in which we need the prayers of others, that our souls might be safely in the hand of God. And her desire to pray for priests, that those who give in their life to help save souls will not lose their own souls in the process of that. Most of what we know about her life is from her autobiography, The Story of a Soul. It's an autobiography she didn't necessarily want to write. She's not like, I need to tell everyone of my life. No, her mother superior asked her, under obedience, to write this. And so she wrote A Story of Her Soul. And, you know, usually when you pick up a saint's book, people have the experience a lot of times, you read like a couple pages in, and you're like, whew, that is dense. That's like all I can read is maybe a page. It's not like that with A Story of a Soul. It's one in which you can take and you can read of the ways in which God and his love worked in the soul of this girl. It tells a simple story of her life, and it's so rich in what God does through it. And so I want to share with you just the two simplest little things from the life of St. Teresa of Lisieux. And it's nothing more than a very simple little introduction. The first is the beauty and the power of Catholic family life. You hear and you see her family that she grew up in, the tender love that was between them, and that they're very regular people. But her parents, they cared deeply about the faith, and they practiced it in a very daily way. Her mom died when she was just 4, and her dad raised her and the rest of her sisters. But one thing that you can see that's at the heart of it is that they believe deeply, her parents, who became saints as well, that they believe deeply that the purpose of life is getting to heaven. And the purpose of every drop of love for their own children, whether it's sweet, tender love, or whether it's hard love that you have to show to your children at times, the purpose of all of that is one thing, and it's getting their children to heaven. The world, St. Therese said, the world is your ship. It's not your home. That this world and this life, you don't get on a ship expecting to stay on it forever. You get on a ship to bring you from this point to the next. And that this world is a ship meant to bring us to our true home. And what prepares us for that true home most in this life is the home that you have in this life now. The love of God being alive within the walls of your home. Parents, you have the power through God's grace to make your children holy. You have the power, children, to help make your own parents holy as well. We just have no idea. We have no idea how many days that God has given us in this life. And you have no idea how many days God has given to your children either, or your grandchildren. They may live lives which are long, or they may live very short lives. We don't know. But the purpose of every life and everything in life is to get your spouse and your children to heaven. We can hear that and think, well, if the world is your ship and it's not your home, well, then my home can seem more like a shipwreck than anything else. But this is the path that God has given you, even in the midst of that, especially in the midst of that. God gives you people who are hard to love in your life. He's given you these people, whether they're in your family or they're your neighbors. God has specifically placed them in your life as a gift to you. Because in loving them, this is your little way to heaven. That the people he's given in your own home, that loving them in a very simple, hidden, daily way, this is the way in which God's love moving through you will help to get them to heaven and to save your own soul in the midst of doing that. And this is at the heart of St. Teresa's little way. She wanted St. Teresa, her parents taught her the lives of the saints because a child needs heroes to look up to. And she wanted very much when she was a little girl to be like St. Joan of Arc. There is this beautiful little picture of St. Therese in which she's a little girl, maybe like 6 years old, and she's dressed up like St. Joan of Arc, who was the other great patron saint of France a couple centuries before, who at the age of 18, this woman became the general of the French army, and the French, whose necks were being stomped on by the foot of the English and about ready to be crushed by them, she, at the age of 18, became the general and pushed the English out of France. And she was martyred, burned at the stake. And this was Thérèse's little hero. And so she's dressed up at like 6 years old, like Joan of Arc. She has her little armor on and her sword and everything. And it's amazing because here you have this one saint, one of the patron saints of France, dressed up as this other patron saint of France as well. And she wanted to be this great martyr. She wanted to be a great missionary. She wanted to heroically give her life for God. But she said that when she read about the great lives of the saints and the great things they had done, like Joan of Arc pushing out the English army, saving her whole country, she said it would leave her discouraged, though, at times. Maybe you hear about the life of St. Teresa of Lisieux, and it does the same thing. You're like, oh, that's pretty cool and stuff, but it's not me. No, this was St. Teresa of Lisieux. She was left discouraged because she said, I'll never be able to do a great thing like these saints. I'll never be a great saint like St. Teresa of Avila, St. John of the Cross, St. Francis of Assisi. And so she brought this prayer and this discouragement to God. And in prayer, she was brought to Paul's verse in 1 Corinthians, where he speaks of the body of Christ being all these parts and all these ways in which he says that he'll show us a more excellent way, and that's the way of love. And Thérèse of Lisieux, struck by this, said, ah, in the body of Christ, I will be love. I will be love in the heart of the church. Because without love, the greatest of the martyrs, the greatest of the missionaries, they have nothing. If the church doesn't have the love of God alive within it, it has nothing. And so she said, I will be love. And this became her little hidden way, the little way in which she would receive the love of God in a humble, trusting way as a little child, the little child of Jesus, and she would live it out in quiet, little hidden ways, choosing to do little things with great love in very down-to-earth ways. She tells a story of, you know, all the sisters living in the monastery. There was one who was particularly, she was old and cranky. No one really liked being near her. You know, she's this old, cranky nun. And St. Therese, like the rest, had no desire to be close to her. But she chose and she sought out this sister. And she would walk with her and she would bring her from prayer to dinner. And she would go with her and she would sit down with her and she would cut up her bread and prepare some of her meal for her. Nothing extraordinary about that. But a little thing in which this love that's lived out in these little ways, recognizing what keeps me from doing that is my own strong-willed willfulness. But saying no to my own will and choosing to love. And sometimes that is the things we do, but also the things we don't do. She spoke a number of times of this little way of love, also holding your tongue. When it'd be so easy to lash out and feel completely justified in it. This little way of humility and trust. And this little way is the one in which, for all of us, and looking at our own lives, God has given each one of us all the raw material we need in your life right now to be an incredible great saint. He gives us all the raw material and all the opportunities we need right now and usually within the walls of your own home to be the saint that he has created you to be. To come to this point of this greater trust of God. To live out his love in real, concrete ways. Doing even as St. Therese did, acts of love, hoping that they wouldn't be noticed, hoping that they wouldn't be acknowledged, so that her heart could remain in a place of humility and not be tempted by being swollen by pride. I offer all this to you, again, as a very simple, the simplest little introduction. Get to know this saint, because her desire in this life was to spend it praying for the salvation of souls and for priests. And her desire in eternal life was to pray for the souls on earth and to get to know this saint and turn to her and bring your prayers to her and ask for her intercession. Her intercession is so powerful. To come to know her as one of the great heroes and the helpers that God has given to us as a gift. We need heroes and we need helpers in this life. And few are as powerful as this little saint, this little flower from Lisieux, France. Saint Thérèse de Lisieux, pray for us.